All right. My name's Amanda. I work for PepsiCo. And I think it's been mentioned several times today, but as sensory scientists nowadays, our job is not over when we just dump the data on the table. Aha, see what I see? Now, you should know what to do with this. So especially when we work in industry, we have to convince others around us that the genius ideas that we can see in our data, that they can see them also, and that they can take those ideas forward and kind of follow the recommendations that we have as to what they should go do next. So again, you've designed this beautiful research, you've done all the amazing analysis, but that's where our job starts, really, in many ways. We have to get our clients and our coworkers to understand what we're saying, to agree with what we're saying, to endorse the message, and then to continue echoing it beyond ourselves, on their own, basically. So how do we do this? There's some fundamentals. None of this is earth-shattering, but it's really what Debbie was saying earlier, is you have to take the time to think through the communication strategy for our data is really important. So things that work for me, I'm gonna go through a few examples. One is to establish subject matter expertise, simplify the message, and enable easy echoing. So first, you know, we are all subject matter experts within the field of sensory science. We have to straddle descriptive analysis, qualitative research, consumer research, quant, statistics. So you wanna make sure that those that you work with understand who you are, what do you represent. So you have to build your brand. If you have a logo, use it. You know, say, hey, I'm representing sensory and consumer product insights. That is my area of expertise. If you put your name in your extension or a way that they could reach out to you, offer to answer questions at any time so they always feel that you're accessible and you can immediately answer any questions they have about the data. Brand your emails even. Remind them that this my point of view is coming from sensory and consumer product insights. I think a lot of times we partner so well with our product development clients that sometimes they forget that we're not product developers. So it's nice to remind them that we are providing this unique viewpoint. Put your name on the front of a report. It might sound kind of obvious, but that way people know who authored this report. It came from Sensory and Consumer Product Insights. Another thing that we can do to kind of build our subject matter expertise perception is to provide context. Bring back insights from meetings like this, from Pangborn, from reading Journal of Sensory Studies articles. Mine your own historical data. Bring back those insights to say, hey, this just about right result looks a little odd, but don't worry. I've looked at historical research, and we see this all the time. Connect the dots for your clients. Give them examples so that they know that you are really an expert in the field. And it helps if we can demystify sensory terminology. We are very smart. We can use an amazing vocabulary in this room. But many of these words are off-putting, especially to senior leaders in our corporations. They hear us start talking, saying these words, and they just immediately turn off their minds and say, oh, I don't even know what she's talking about. So, you know, we're in a really unique position. We sit in the center of you know, our statistics partners in psychology and neurology, engineering, different sciences, whether it's food science or material science or packaging science. So we have to understand all of these. So we get to be the ones that can really translate in an understandable way the differences between all of those different kind of technical expertises. The next thing is to simplify the message. We're hearing a lot about this. Again, it's very consistent. The first one is that consistency is key. If you write a report or run a kind of consumer test consistently, make sure that you and your team are maybe using the same report flow. Then your clients or your coworkers, as you're presenting the data, they don't get anxious about, oh, what's coming next? I don't know what to expect. You know, keep the flow consistent each time so they kind of know what to expect from you. They know when to ask their questions, or they know when a key result is coming. Be consistent also. So with your graphs and your data, if you were studying a couple of well-known brands with very obvious color schemes, don't do this. Make it intuitive. It should fit. If you're testing a lightly flavored product and a really intensely flavored product, don't make the intensely flavored product a light color and the other one a dark color. It's just incongruent, and your audience is going to get confused. And be consistent throughout the entire report. We do research in different phases. We do qual, we do quant, we do descriptive, and you might be compiling several different reports into one story. Make sure that your color schemes are the same throughout. Don't like switch back and forth just because you've thrown it all together at the last minute. Read it with that kind of mindset. Simplify complicated analyses. One-pagers work great for this. Patty mentioned this. Just explain. If it's something that they're unfamiliar with, create a one-pager. Explain what you're doing. If it takes more than one page to explain, you're not doing a good enough job. So it should only take one page to explain. And then focus on what matters. I see this all the time in qualitative research. We write the report in the exact order that the discussion guide went. We talk about the introductions, and then we talk concept exploration. Well, what we want is the summary. We want to know, like, what was the result? So think about that. Don't be beholden to that discussion guide. Same thing with kind of our overall research. You know, maybe we do qual first, and then we do descriptive, and then we do quant. But the business implication doesn't necessarily follow that order at all. So revisit. Don't get stuck in kind of our approach. Revisit it from the business perspective of what do they really need to know. Just tell them that. So for example, if you have, you know, qual and descriptive and quant and these advanced statistical analyses, focus on the key message. If that means combining on one slide some descriptive data and some quant data, go for it. If it means putting a qual video next to some overall liking data, go for it. Get the message across. And then the third thing is to enable easy echoing. So once they have adopted your ideas, and you've told them what you want them to go do next, you want them to be able to echo what you've taught them. So again, we've talked about this several times today, but know your audience, anticipate questions. Think about, do I have a lion in the room? Do I have an owl in the room? Think about what kind of questions that you might get from that audience, and even pre-prepare slides that say, you know, here's the question at the top of the page, and here I'm answering it with just very specific data that addresses that particular question. Again, we've talked about infographics and scorecards. If you're going to be sharing results for a test that you run all the time, say an innovation validation, maybe put a scorecard together where the data is in the same place every single time. You can align with senior leaders across both R&D and marketing. What kind of information do they want to see consistently? And that way they just say, okay, this is a scorecard. I know it has this logo on it. This came from R&D. Sensory and Consumer Product Insights, I know exactly what all this means. Nothing's new. It's just a very consistent, replicated format so that they don't have to reorient themselves to our data every single time. And then the other thing is to create shareable reports. Patty mentioned this, but we may have a really in-depth, long report for R&D or product development. We'll have all of the appendix pages in there. When we go up to that next level of R&D leadership, they may not care so much for all that level of detail. So it could be that you have a totally different version of the report that you've actually prepared for that specific audience. And then if you're going to marketing, hey, you probably want to cut down even further because they might completely misinterpret some of the data that we share if we share too much. Same thing goes for, you know, business leaders, sales leaders, CEOs. You want to tell them exactly what they need to know to make the decision and agree with you. Don't give them too much that they might misinterpret or misunderstand or get overwhelmed. So consider just very completely different versions of a report. And then the last thing that I'll share is that we've learned that PDF can be your friend. If you're sharing results, if you send it in a PDF and then they want to reuse those results somewhere else, they have to reach out and say, hey, can I have the PowerPoint version of that slide? Then I can say, what are you doing with that? Would you like me to come help you present it? Would you like me to help simplify that for you? And so at least having that awareness can make a big difference so you know that your data is not getting echoed in, you know, the telephone game way versus echoed in an accurate way. Okay, so that's it for us, and we'll take questions.